Welcome in, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you guys on a Tuesday. And I'm Woodsy, by the way. Stephen Woods. Go by Woodsy. Paul Reindel is our executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, good morning.
And Ben Higgins is our friendly neighborhood sports anchor. He joins us as well. Good morning to you, Benjamin.
Good morning, everybody. Day two of Ben and Woods' summer break.
Yeah, you might think to yourself, it's summer break. Padres aren't playing. It might be a good time for me to sample maybe other radio shows. The answer to that is absolutely not.
Why would you
not
even bring that up?
Yeah, I'm just telling them.
Don't throw that in the universe.
Well, I mean, I did it recently. I did it. Yeah, they're not good. This is where you need to be. I did it.
You did it for everybody else to tell them they have to.
I already did all the hard work. And now look, it's not great. So this is what you get. All right, Ben and Woods this week. And
your unbiased opinion.
I'm able to take my I'd be objective about it.
Very objective.
I am massively if you guys know me at all, I'm very objective. Very objective.
Yes. So if we truly were the fourth best radio program in the mornings in San Diego, you would honestly come and tell us.
I think you guys know that I would. I probably would be like, hey, we're number four right now, and that's not good. So you guys better get your S together ASAP. All right? I don't know that I'd say that on the air, but we're not. No, we're doing good. We're doing really well, and happy to be here with you guys this week. Anybody heard from our fearless leader Adam Klug at all? Any texts or anything?
Nothing.
Not even on producer's thread or.
He returned an email from me yesterday.
He did.
Yes, he was nice. I apologize, but I did email him. He emailed me back. That's about it, though. I got that reply email that says you're out of office and have limited access to email, which is. Where on earth do you have limited access to email? That is 100%.
That's garbage.
Garbage.
He's in Las Vegas.
If you have a phone with you and you're in a city with cell service, and I'm pretty sure Las Vegas is one of them, you have access. It's not limited.
Just say I'm not checking.
You
say
I'm turning off my notifications.
Correct. Yeah.
But you don't have limited access to email.
You have full access. The only thing that's limiting it is you.
Nobody has limited access to email anymore.
You'd be in Borneo and you're like, I got to answer this thing.
I didn't even get the text, like the video of the national anthem 3 hours later. Hey, making sure you saw this.
Bro.
Like, oh, really? No, I haven't. It's only been posted a million times.
So he checked out, which is good. He deserves to check out. He's got a lot of he deals with a lot of S. He's got to deal with me every day. He's got to deal with Ben some, I'm sure. What was your email in regards to?
You don't need to know.
Oh, you're dead.
What was your email in regards to? I'm going to ask you again.
You don't need to know.
What's there to hide? Oh, he was asking for something.
No.
Yes. Yes, you were asking for something.
I was asking for
something. What's his replacement?
No.
Padres ticket.
No. bother him on vacation for something.
Wouldn't you?
It wasn't.
Wouldn't.
Time.
Wouldn't.
Relevant.
You. Wouldn't you?
There's no Padres game for at home, at least, for 2 weeks. I'm not going to bother him for something like that.
It'll be August. Concert tickets of some sort.
No.
I don't believe you. And now I'm furious that he will not share what he needs. Day off?
No.
Carlos, you Ben asked for two round tables.
Yeah, you wanted more reps on the round table? Maggie says leave Ben alone. Maggie, you can't do this job without a certain level of trust and openness. You know how we operate. I'm going to get it out of him before the end of the day.
I'm afraid that you're going to, but this is something that I need to keep.
The trainings we've had to do?
Oh, if it was about the trainings.
I haven't even started. I know you guys
copied me on that.
Hey,
yeah.
Is this mandatory?
You guys, all right, I'll just pull it up on my phone. I did the 2 hour.
Oh, God. I have not started that.
You guys got to get this thing done. It was a 2 hour sexual harassment training that we have to do. And I'll tell you, listen, I can honestly say I have never worked with any single person that was that sexually harassed anybody else in front of me, at least, like to my knowledge. I've never seen like some of the
getting coffee in the kitchen. Hey. You're like, geez, that was aggressive.
Right. No, no. I mean, look,
settle down, bro, Bill.
I've worked in radio long enough, but I've been around people that like when somebody walked out of the room, maybe said something crass, but never like, hey, let's go for a ride later, and I don't mean in my car. You know what I
like
mean?
The like scenarios they play in the videos in the training,
bro. At which okay, it's training. They're gonna you have to kind of amplify it up. But so I did that one. It was 2 hours.
Ray says, "What do they say about GIMP masks in the training?"
Well, you know, we're in a enclosed. This is just the three of us. Yeah,
it's enclosed.
We have all said it's fine. Now
this is a room of professional creators.
Yeah.
Now you know why I'm emailing Adam behind your back the week.
One thing I did notice in there, it was sexual harassment and bullying. And I started thinking about the things that I've said and done to Ben. And then I started thinking about the things I've said and done to Adam.
You're a bully.
And I went, oh, no. But, you know, bring the noise. I mean, Adam's like, I love it, by the way. Keep it up,
we have
man.
A picture of your sexual harassment right on the wall behind me.
Yeah, there it is. Oh, no,
proudly displayed.
That was a workout.
That was a workout.
But that was nothing, man. And then I woke up, you know, from my three-day slumber vacation. And I had, this is no joke, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 20 emails from July 12th through July 12th. 20 emails sent by the same person on the same day about some other training, which I still don't know if it has anything to do with me. But there's 20 emails from one guy named Chris. And that's apparently something that we all have to go do as well. So,
didn't get those.
You did not?
No.
Chris Devins is his name?
I got all of them.
You got
too.
All those too?
I erased them immediately.
Lord, man.
I felt like someone accidentally sent multiple invitations to something that I didn't need to go to.
I feel the same way. Yeah. I'm going to choose to ignore those as well. But listen, this is a good week. While the Padres are off, you guys knock out your sexual harassment train. I'll give you the first scenario.
You know,
was
I have
gnarly.
To do two because I have two jobs. So I've got them both. And I understand why it's probably necessary. I just don't know why it's 2 hours long. It just feels like, hey, 15 minutes, go through the basics of what you don't need to do. Why does it have to be 2 hours long?
Because you know why. You know why. They make you, there's actually a timer on every page. And like it'll say, read these definitions. You read them. Now I'm a fast ass reader.
Like
you read them, and then you have to sit, and you gotta wait. You gotta wait for it to finish, and then you have to answer the questions. And no, I mean obviously it's really important, but the scenarios presented in there were, I mean, like wildly uncomfortable. To where if I saw that at work, I'd be like, bro, are you out of your effing mind? Like, are you? You can't be serious right now with what you just said to that girl. You cannot be. I've worked around some crass people. I'm pretty crass, but like, it was. It's so out of left field, which I think you know they have to show you the extremes.
And I mean, the acting in these training videos is
horrendous. This one's not bad. I'm telling you, this one's pretty good. It's good. Good production value that we're getting from this. So this is a good week. You guys got to knock these things out, get it all done. But I have not heard from Adam. Apparently Ben has. I'm dying to know what the gist of this email was that he will not share. If you tell me can't have it, guess what?
I know.
I want it more.
I know.
All right. What else, Pauly? What else could it be if he's not
Pauly
asking?
Knows. Pauly knows.
Pauly knows.
No, Pauly knows.
But I don't?
Yeah.
BS.
That should give you a little hint there.
Oh. You got me a birthday exotic dancer?
Something like that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, good. How nice of you to remember my birthday. I would hate if somebody forgot mine.
Everybody out there, just a reminder, this Friday is Woods' birthday.
This is a tough one. 49's a tough one.
Last birthday in the 40s. Starting your 50th trip around planet Earth on Friday.
It hurts, man. It really does.
We're around the sun, I guess.
It really hurts. In fact, it's funny you say that. You know where I'm going today after the program? I'm going to QC Kinetics. Now, I got my wrists done at QC Kinetics.
What are we working on now?
Knees.
Knees.
Now, they're fine.
Uh-oh.
But they're fine, but it's almost like a preemptive strike. They are a little sore. But it's more of like a, hey, man, I'm really enjoying playing baseball again. Like, And yeah, I'm really enjoying playing with my kid. Like, I love it so much. I watched Bo at camp yesterday, and Hannah's like, please shut up, dude. You're not the coach of this. And I'm like, but they need to know. I love it. I am so on fire for it.
You don't have some birthday auto
erotica?
Yeah, planned that you just want to, like, prepare your niece
my
for.
My niece? All right, settle down. Not everybody knows that story. You have to be a member to know that story. So I'm going in for a little preemptive strike today on my knees because I have my right knee. I injured it recently. All right? So I injured it, and it hurts. But I want to get it, like, preemptively done. And so I'm going in today to get like a consultation with them because they absolutely changed my life with my wrists. So if they can do that for my wrists, what can they do for my knees? Carlos asked, when's the colonoscopy? Already did it. Did it, year and a half ago. This is an amazing experience. Have you done yours yet?
No, I just did the Cologuard.
I remember Cologuard.
I got a clear pass after the first hiccup. Didn't take.
When you had the box and it was too full and they had to send it back. It was really fun.
No, they didn't send it back to me. Yours is the one that got delivered.
I delivered it back to myself.
You sent your own doo-doo to yourself.
Mine just got rejected.
Ben just left a giant grizzly bear.
A grizzly bear.
Pile of...
Yeah, dung in a box.
Sir,
this is way too much. This is way, way, way too much. And then you had to do it again, yeah? Yeah, incredible. Heather wants to know, why do I call myself a boomer when I'm only 50? Heather, because I still don't know how to use the email on my phone. That's why. I have to call Paulie on the weekend.
Once or twice a day, you have limited access to your email.
Yeah, actually,
that's not because of my. It's not because of my location. It's because
your own ineptitude.
It's because of my ineptitude. How many times a week do I call you for something?
I'd love to see
four or five.
What was yesterday? Yesterday was something. It was about YouTube. Yesterday was about YouTube, and I'm like, Paulie,
what does this mean?
What does this mean on YouTube?
Is this bad. What do we need to do?
Literally, automatic reply
from Woods when I send him an email. It says, "I have limited access to email because, well, I just don't
know how to use
it on my phone."
I was actually texting with our buddy in Padres PR, our buddy Danny, the other day, and I had asked him for a favor, and he said, "Yeah, what's the date?" So I gave him the date, and it's in like September, and he goes, "Oof." I go, "What?" He goes, "Can you put it in an email?" I go, "Yeah, sure." He goes, "Can you also remind me the week before?" And I go, "Well, that's what the email." So I go, "You know what, Danny? Yeah." I go, "Paulie does that for me. Paulie, you're going to need to remind me of the meeting that I have already set. I'd be lost and dead without Paulie. There's no question about it. I probably lean on him more than you do, Benjamin. But good start to the show today. I wanted to say something last night as well. We were texting about this. I miss talking to the tier ones on the telephone. I was thinking about when we used to do open phones out of the show, like out of the open. Like it was open phones right out of the shoot.
Like in the 5 a.m. hour.
In the 5 a.m. Yeah. hour when they used to force us to come in here at 5 a.m. But I miss talking to the tier ones out there. This is a good week for it. We're exploring the space. Would love to talk to you guys. 833-288-0973 and call us.
Done.
Let me give you a clear one. 833-288-0973. Give you a clear, nice number read. And would love to talk to you guys today. Literally about whatever's on your mind.
Absolutely.
I mean, truly. That was not me. Truly. Whatever's on your mind.
All right. We'll set the very light menu when we come back. And, of course, we'll get into the home run derby escapades last night in Texas and talk a little bit about the Padres at the All-Star game as well.
Did you see what is on here? I was surprised by this.
Oh, yeah. We can...
I don't know what this is. A little Paulie surprise.
Totally surprised, but we can set the menu next. What's coming up on the program today? Kelly's in with a check of traffic, and we are started. That was a little bit of everything to get us started on Tuesday on San Diego's number one sports station, Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Talked about yesterday from Jurickson Profar that caught my eye, and he did some interviews. I played some sound. He was on, I think, with MLB Network, talking about what you'd expect. You know, excited to be there. Kyrie's excited to be there.
We got that. If you want to play it later,
yeah. We can play that later.
I'd like to hear it.
Good stuff from Jurickson Profar. But this is actually from the UT story that is about Jurickson Profar and Will Smith being together as teammates now on the National League All-Star team. You know,
Mr. Irrelevant.
Kevin Ashe rehashes the...
Oh, God.
Did you just say Kevin Ashe rehashes? Ashe rehashes.
I switched the...
Did you switch to decaf or...
No, still on the
seltzer.
Back early in the season when Jurickson thought maybe the Dodgers were throwing at him, Gavin Stone realized he had a perfect game, wasn't throwing at him, and then the quote that was kind of famous and inspired T-shirts that even Padres players wear from Will Smith. I don't know why we would have thrown at him. He's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah.
And, Profar has always downplayed it, like, not a big deal,
he's
whatever.
The master. He is literally the master at, like, getting the – turning up the volume. Like, he turns up the volume, but then when people ask him, he's like – what? I don't know.
He's got
the thing.
It's going to be a bold comparison, but he's got a little bit of Michael Jordan.
There's no question. There's absolutely
like Michael
no question.
Jordan he took it to another level.
To another level.
He'd make stuff up. But if you ever said anything to Michael,
he's like,
he'd
okay.
remember it for 12 years,
yeah,
however long it took.
And he'd use it.
It was fuel.
But then the difference is when they asked Jurickson about this stuff, he's like, I just love to play baseball, man. I play with my heart.
Every time.
My soul. I'm passionate. I'm on fire for baseball. It's so good.
So, and Will Smith kind of had at least a semi-apology yesterday. He said, you know what? It was the situation only. My bad. It was nothing personal. He's fiery, plays hard, he's a competitor. In competition, the best and worst comes out of us. He's a competitor and a good player. So, you know, water under the bridge, moving forward. But the quote
Speak for yourself.
Whatever. The quote that struck me, though, this is from Jurickson. And you tell me what you think this means. Says, it doesn't matter, it's going to be okay. He's another baseball player. He's not the enemy. I have seen enemies in front of me before. Really, really enemies in Curacao. Will Smith is a baseball player.
Ooh. That's badass.
Who are Jurickson's enemies back in his native island home of Curacao?
He probably grew up, you know, poor and saw some really, really tough stuff, you know, when he was growing up. Again, like for him, he always talks about...
There's a backstory to Jurickson that I think that we don't really totally know.
And that's fine. That's absolutely fine.
I mean, we know the Little League World Series.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we know
badass.
The smile. He's a... You know, always smiling and enjoying himself. But there's something in him that...
Well, he's got an edge, man.
That gave him that edge growing up. And I think he kind of hints at it there. Whatever it is, don't know what it is. But there's definitely a hidden story for Jurickson Profar.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to ask him about it. Not something I want to know. And clearly is not something he wants to expand on. But, yeah, man, I think, Ben, when you have people like that that come from... The very, very modest and humble spot that he came from, you think Will Smith calling him irrelevant is really going to bother him? These guys, I mean, you read the stories about what these guys played with growing up in the islands. Like, one guy used a detergent box as a glove. They flipped those bottle caps. It was in Curacao. I saw the video of the kid flipping bottle caps, and that's what they take BP with. So I don't know that, you know, Will Smith saying that really is going to bother him when he's seen, you know, it's just perspective. It's just a matter of perspective. But he has just grown. I've always liked Jurickson a lot. And I've grown to adore him. Like, adore him. And my kids love him. Bo, the way he looks at him with reverence when he got to shake his hand, he was the most excited. It was Jackson, Maryland, Jurickson, Profar. He couldn't believe himself. That he got to meet those guys. And every time he comes on the screen, my six-year-old goes, I love Profar. I love Profar. I love Profar. Such a good player. Such a good dude. And seeing him there with his kid yesterday brought tears to my eyes. It was incredible.
I'm hoping that Jurickson at least gets a chance for two ABs tonight. It's going to be a little tougher in that Torrey Lovello's put him ninth in the order.
Absolutely fine, man.
But, I think if he gets two ABs, that's awesome. That means he's in the game for, you know, five innings or so at least, and that's great. That's all you really want to be in for an all-star game. So.
Get him his AB and get him out of there. Making it and being voted in and being so deserving of it is really the prize for him. Very, very cool that he's there.
All right, coming up on the program today, quickly, so set the menu. When we come back, we will get into what happened last night at the MLB Home Run Derby in Texas, both during the Derby and, before the Derby. We got that audio. You probably caught it, but certainly something that surprised everybody last night. We've got our regular features in our 7 o'clock hour, Take on Woods, and Don't Do This at 7:10 and 7:20. Now, here's the one that Woods mentioned that's on our rundown here that I did not know about until I arrived this morning.
Same.
7:35, Ben and Woods decipher mumble rap.
I mean, okay.
So I remember when we did Ben Decipher's Grunge.
Do you have a clip, Paulie, perhaps?
I do.
Okay,
I
this is
ready.
A couple years ago, maybe? A
couple years ago, we were in the Corona Cave. And
no, this was here.
Oh, was it here?
This was post-Corona Cave.
Ben had said to us, he's like, oh, Woodsy, I know you were way into grunge. He goes, I missed it. And I was like, how could you miss that era? And he goes, I could never really understand what they were saying. And I wasn't real angsty. And I was.
Yeah.
Go figure. And I said, all right, well, let me get like five of the greatest grunge hits and see if you can tell what they're saying. And it laid me out. All right, let's go.
Okay. When she put it under, she owned it. It's a day to see her love.
I mean, it's not
the hell.
It's not even close.
One more time.
When she put it under, she owned it. It's a day to see her love.
When she
put it on.
No.
When she couldn't hold on, she folded. A dissident.
Well, I got the she part.
Yeah, you did. You did.
You got one word.
You did get one word right. So I'm involved in this now.
Yeah, this is kind of going to be like me against you two.
This is you against us.
I'll let you two work as a team.
Oh, my God. We get to team up finally. It's not just me v. you.
Nice. All right. Yeah. This is part of our summer break.
Yeah.
You know, let's keep it light. Have some fun. So we'll get to that at 7:35. Second half of the program. We want some open calls. We want to talk to you guys out there as well. 833-288-0973. Rindle Report. Everything. Just having a good time all the way until 10 o'clock today. Keeping it light and fun during our summer break week here. Get you ready for the All-Star game tonight as well. So little menu set. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Home Run Derby last night. And, of course, the National Anthem debacle.
It was a debacle, straight up.
In a different way than, you know, Carl Lewis and some of the others.
Yeah.
This hit a little differently last night. If you did miss it, you do not want to miss what happened in the National Anthem performance before the Home Run Derby last night. Coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So you guys weren't here back in 1990.
No.
When Roseanne sang the national anthem at the Q.
That was a regular season game.
It was just a regular season game, became national headlines.
I remember it well.
It went viral. Well, before things went viral, it went traditionally viral on national media for her disrespectful performance and spitting on the field when performing the national anthem. And if you remember, she was invited. One of the Padres owners, Tom Werner, TV producer, was kind of a, you know, publicity, promotional stunt. Roseanne, one of the shows that was on, so they had her on. But no one expected her to be an angel-voiced singer of the national anthem.
They didn't expect her to grab her crotch
right.
and spit doing, you know, a baseball player.
What's up?
Oh, man.
Oh, God. I mean, it just was an ill-conceived idea.
Yeah, sometimes bits go bad.
And, you know, she reacted poorly. The fans then, you know, were mad about it. And you understand how it got away. That's not what happened last night at the Home Run Derby.
No, and I mean, you've seen people come in and not do a great job at the Derby. And listen, I thought about it this morning. I was in the shower. I'm like, look, this is somebody's daughter, sister, girlfriend, whatever. So I don't want to be too hard on her. But what I will say is this. When you're a singer and you put yourself out there to sing and you don't do a good job at singing, people are going to talk about it. And I don't know what happened. I haven't heard if there was some sort of malfunction or the earpiece didn't work. Technical difficulties happen. This was awful.
But this is something you would expect would be a good rendition. And it just wasn't.
I thought Fergie was going to be a good rendition at the NBA All-Star game. She's a singer.
Yeah.
In the Rockets' red glare, the bombs fall.
Just when you jazz it up a lot, I always
you can certainly say I don't like that version, but you can't necessarily objectively go, but it's horrible.
Right.
You kind of can.
Well, it's definitely not going to be an all-time great one.
Like, while anybody can do their own rendition of the national anthem,
yes,
there's kind of one way to do it. Like Fergie, for example, in 2018, I think that was. Like, she was trying to, like, make it sexy.
Yeah, it's not a sexy song.
You don't have to do that.
But I don't even know what's her name? Ingrid Andress.
Yes.
Who was the singer last night, country artist, who was asked to perform before the Home Run Derby. If you didn't hear it, or even if you did, we're going to go through it coming up right after this check. Traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Davick.
Just one accident to mention here, guys. This is heading out of Santee, westbound side of the 52 past Mast Boulevard. This car clipped a vehicle pulling a trailer, and on that trailer was a blue porta potty. Well, apparently that vehicle with the trailer kept going because they said, sorry, I got to be somewhere. People got to go. But meanwhile, that vehicle that hit it spun out, hit the center divide, so it looks like a tow truck might be needed there, westbound 52, just past Mast Boulevard. That's it, though. That's all we got going on right now. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben and Wood, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Now, Chris asks, don't they do like a sound check or anything? Now,
definitely.
A lot of times, for less important games, regular season games, they're actually all pre-recorded.
Yeah, they'll sing it that day.
They sing it at like 1 o'clock, yep, when nobody's there.
100%.
And then they lip-sync it.
I've heard many of the pre-recordings, yes, of, yep, the national anthem at Padres games.
That way, nobody can go rogue. When it's live, nobody, like, it's done, it's ready to go. You know what you're getting. But for playoff games, championship games, all-star games, they do tend to do that live.
Yeah,
so
they do it live.
I would assume yesterday's
was live. Let's do it live.
Have either of you even heard of Ingrid Andress,
no,
before yesterday?
No.
Doesn't mean anything, but...
Yeah, it means nothing.
Country music singer-songwriter, her breakthrough single, More Hearts Than Mine, in 2019, peaked at number 30 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Give me some of that.
Her single, The Stranger, number 49 on country airplay, and her single, Wishful Drinking, became her second entry on the Billboard Hot 100. So... apparently a country artist, 32 years old, of somewhat recent vintage, who's had a couple of songs that have done well lately. Okay.
If I bring you home to mama. That's fine.
The voice of an
that's
angel.
Good.
Even Woods can't complain about that.
Hell no, it's beautiful.
Nothing wrong with that. But what happened last night, we still don't know. Polly, if you would, Ingrid Andress, the national anthem in Arlington, Texas.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proud...
Right there is where I started to go, uh-oh.
So I was sitting down, I was eating chicken, and I was, you know, shoveling it into my mouth on my phone, and it was on in the background. And when she hit that note, I immediately... look my head up at the TV. I went,
like, perked up.
Oh, God. And I stood up. When
like
I get nervous.
Content senses were tingling.
My content senses were tingling, and I stood up because when I get nervous, I stand up and walk around.
Yeah.
And that's what I did for the entire day.
So proudly we hail by the twilight. Whose broad stripes,
what?
And bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched,
oh,
were so gallantly streaming.
What is that? Streaming.
And the rockets red glare.
Oh.
The bombs bursting in air,
oh,
gave proof through the night that our flag was,
oh,
still there.
She has a habit of not finishing her words.
Yes.
Night.
Prue.
Night. There's a last letter on some of these words.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave? Or the
No.
Hello, home of the brave.
I'm so sorry for her. It had to be a rough night, and there's only one way to handle it. You have to lean in and go, how bad was I last night?
I genuinely felt bad for
her. I did too.
Like, the whole country is going to be making fun of this girl.
Twitter just went,
yes, but didn't you also feel bad for, like, the participants who had to stand there and on the field, and everyone, the cameras, the close-ups are on, like, the players. And
Alec,
like,
Bohm's face, he's like, just holding it together.
I always remember Fergie at the NBA All-Star game, like Draymond. Green, he's like, he can't hold it in. Steph's like biting his lip. LeBron's like looking around, like, please don't put the camera on me. Please don't put the camera on me.
It's tough, dude.
I mean, there is a note for the word free, like, written in the song. You know, the original music.
Right.
She turned it into like a good 12 different notes. And I don't know if any of them was the correct one there.
I mean, I wonder if, like, if you have a couple of whiskeys before just to calm your nerves. Because when she started, I thought, oh, man, she sounds maybe like that she's had a couple of whiskeys, you know, to calm her nerves. But it was an auspicious start to the Home Run Derby last night, to be sure. And I did feel terrible for her. But, you know, listen, again, you're a singer and you biff that bad, you know, you're going to get worn out for it. And there's only one thing to do. You have to lean into it and be like, I was terrible last night. Sorry
about
that.
Last time I take mushrooms before the national anthem.
Yeah, can't believe I did bath salts right before I did the national anthem.
What was I thinking?
I mean, it was horrid.
As for the Derby, your guys' thoughts on... I like the format change for the Derby. I thought it was better than what they used to do before. But it wasn't a good Derby, though, until at least the last couple of minutes.
The Incredible Boomer is fully back. And that's when I go full Boomer. I'm ready to get back to basics. I'm ready to get back to players in their own unis for the whole All-Star festivities, where, you know, everyone's wearing their own stuff. And I'm ready to get back to, what was it, 10 swings?
10 outs.
10 outs. I'm ready to get back to it, man. And I want to watch these home runs. You see me in the chat. I'm the Incredible Boomer. Paulie turns me green. I'm ready to get back to... Now, was the Derby always 3 hours long? It's getting longer. There were four people left by the time it was over. I mean, the guy that won, Teoscar Hernandez of the Dodgers... Tyler Glasnow was his only teammate there. And people were like ripping the Dodgers for that. I go, I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all. I would have been
families
gone.
There.
Yeah, like, they're like, bro, I want to eat.
You can't make me stay here for 3 hours.
I
want to
eat. I give me the best of the. And the other thing is, there's nothing against any of those players. They're all excellent, excellent players. But it wasn't the same as when you had Judge and Harper and Giancarlo. I mean, prodigious home run hitters.
To me, the format was correct. The participants were incorrect. There are people out there like Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge.
Yes,
and they're just not participating.
And the time I was in on the timing thing. And now that I watched it again last night, I'm out. It takes so long.
I thought like...
And they're so gassed. They're so gassed after a minute and a half.
I really thought after they moved to the new format, before they tweaked it again this year.
They'd love to tweak stuff.
I thought when they originally moved formats to the timed head-to-head competition, I thought it moved quicker.
I thought so, too.
But yesterday dragged on. And I thought, like, the second round was okay. First half, like, just was so boring. Bohm versus... Teoscar was pretty good.
The swing off was fine.
And the championship, like, kind of a low number, 14 or whatever, but at least it was close.
The final round wasn't as long, so they knew the number would be lower.
Yeah, they knew it would be lower.
And it actually was a really thrilling finish. If you made it all the way through the 3 hours, you got a terrific ending. Teoscar Hernandez goes first, puts up 14 home runs, gets a couple in the bonus round. And then you can see that Bobby Witt Jr. is kind of on the edge, and then he gets hot at the end, and he gets to 13, and he hits the bonus one. So he gets two outs left to try to get one to tie and two to win. But the first pitch, line drive, it's an out. So he's down to one swing. This is why I think the format change was good, because there's no clock ticking. You can then build up the drama. He can take a pitch or two until he gets the one he wants. You know, either he homers and he has a chance to win it. They're going to a swing
playoff
off,
or
they're
whatever,
or he's going to win it in dramatic fashion or not. So it's the moment you're hoping for in the home run derby.
Just took too long to get there.
And he hits one, and he drives it like 103 miles an hour, deep to left center, and, you know, everyone's getting excited. The camera, you know, follows the ball, so you don't really have the perspective it's going to be long enough. And it comes down, and it hits the wall about halfway up, and, you know, just another, like, 5 feet, and he would have gotten there, but instead, Teoscar Hernandez wins. That's all you can dream for if you're hoping for an entertaining end to a home run derby.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, at the end, though, you imagine if you had Aaron Judge against
Fernando Tatis Jr.,
and they're hitting balls.
Ohtani,
you know,
Judge,
right.
Stanton.
And it's like, all right, here's the final round.
Harper.
These two are going off. And
Schwarber.
Listen, I mean, again, they're all phenomenal players. I love Bobby Witt Jr. He's one of my favorite players to watch. But Colleyville, Texas, that's where I grew up. Same high school as my brother went to. I hometown kid.
Alec Bohm, great player.
Great player.
I don't know that I need to see him in a home run derby. He did fine.
That was
he
it.
He did fine, but I want
the home run hitters,
boys,
man.
Out there.
I did too.
20 plus per round.
Yeah, I want the big ones, the big tanks, man. And again, I'm fine going back to the old way of doing it because I want to watch these homers. You know, also the constant chatter throughout. I mean, when they had Ken Griffey Jr. on.
So you guys weren't here back in 1990.
No,
when Roseanne sang the national anthem at the Q.
That was a regular season game.
It
yeah.
was just a regular season game. Became national headlines.
I remember it. I remember it well.
You know, it went viral. Well, before things went viral, it went traditionally viral on national media for her disrespectful performance and spitting on the field when performing the national anthem. And if you remember, she was invited. One of the Padres owners, Tom Werner, TV producer, was kind of a, you know, publicity, promotional stunt, Roseanne, one of the shows that was on, so they had her on. But no one expected her to be an angel-voiced singer of the national anthem.
They didn't expect her to grab her crotch
right.
and spit doing, you know, a baseball play.
What a party we held at the twilight's last gleaming. Whose breath drives and bright stars.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
I mean, it just was an ill-conceived idea.
Yeah, sometimes bits go bad.
And, you know, she reacted poorly. The fans then, you know, were mad about it. And you understand how it got away. That's not what happened last night at the Home Run Derby.
No, and I mean, you've seen people come in and not do a great job at the Derby. And listen, I thought about it this morning. I was in the shower. I'm like, look, this is somebody's daughter, sister, girlfriend, whatever. So I don't want to be too hard on her, but what I will say is this. When you're a singer and you put yourself out there to sing and you don't do a good job at singing, people are going to talk about it. And I don't know what happened. I haven't heard if there was some sort of malfunction or the earpiece didn't work. Technical difficulties happen. This was awful.
But this is something you would expect would be a good rendition. And it just wasn't.
I thought Fergie was going to be a good rendition at the NBA All-Star Game. She's a singer. And that...
Yeah.
In the Rockets red glare, the bombs burst, in air. Came through the night.
Just when you jazz it up a lot, I always...
You can certainly say, I don't like that version, but you can't necessarily objectively go, but it's horrible.
Right.
You kind of can.
Well,
it's definitely not going to be an all-time great one,
like, while anybody can do their own rendition of the national anthem,
yes,
there's kind of one way to do it. Like, Fergie, for example, in 2018, I think that was... Like, she was trying to, like, make it sexy.
Yeah, it's and not a sexy song.
You don't have to do that.
But I don't even know what's her name? Ingrid Andress.
Yes.
Who was the singer last night, country artist, who was asked to perform before the Home Run Derby. If you didn't hear it, or even if you did, we're going to go through it coming up right after this check. Traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danick.
Just one accident to mention here, guys. This is heading out of Santee, westbound side of the 52 past Mast Boulevard. This car clipped a vehicle pulling a trailer, and on that trailer was a blue porta potty. Well, apparently that vehicle with the trailer kept going because they said, sorry, I got to be somewhere. People got to go. But meanwhile, that vehicle that hit it spun out, hit the center divide, so it looks like a tow truck might be needed there, westbound 52, just past Mass Boulevard. That's it, though. That's all we got going on right now. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Now, Chris asks, don't they do like a sound check or anything? Now,
definitely.
A lot of times, for less important games, regular season games, they're actually all pre-recorded.
Yeah, they'll sing it that day.
They sing it at like 1 o'clock when nobody's there.
100%.
And then they lip sing it.
I've heard many of the pre-recordings of the national anthem at Padres games.
That way nobody can go rogue when it's live. Nobody, like, it's done. It's ready to go. You know what you're getting. But for playoff games, championship games, all-star games, they do tend to do that live.
Yeah,
so
they do it live.
I would assume yesterday's
was live. Let's do it live.
Now, have either of you even heard of Ingrid Andress before yesterday?
No.
Doesn't mean anything, but...
Yeah, it means nothing.
Country music singer-songwriter, her breakthrough single, More Hearts Than Mine, in 2019, peaked at number 30 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Give me some of that.
Her single, The Stranger, number 49 on Country Airplay, and her single, Wishful Drinking, became her second entry on the Billboard Hot 100. So... apparently a country artist, 32 years old, of somewhat recent vintage, who's had a couple of songs that have done well lately. Okay.
If I bring you home to mama.
Beautiful.
That's fine.
Voice of an
angel. That's good.
Even Woods can't complain about that.
Hell no, it's beautiful.
Nothing wrong with that. But what happened last night, we still don't know. Polly, if you would, Ingrid Andress, the national anthem in Arlington, Texas.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proud...
Right there is where I started to go, uh-oh.
So I was sitting down, I was eating chicken, and I was, you know, shoveling it into my mouth on my phone, and it was on in the background. And when she hit that note, I immediately... look my head up at the TV. I went, oh God. And then I stood up. When I get nervous.
Content senses were tingling.
My content senses were tingling, and I stood up because when I get nervous, I stand up and walk around.
Yeah.
And that's what I did for the entire day.
So proudly we hail by the twilight.
That's not how it goes.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming.
What is that? Streaming.
And the rockets red glare. Oh. The bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was there.
She has a habit of not finishing her words.
Yes.
Night.
Prue.
Night. There's a last letter on some of these words.
Say does that star spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free?
No. I'm so sorry for her. It had to be a rough night, and there's only one way to handle it. You have to lean in and go, how bad was I last night? I mean,
I genuinely felt bad for
her. I did too.
Like, the whole country is going to be making fun of this girl.
Twitter just went...
Yes, but didn't you also feel bad for, like, the participants who had to stand there and on the field, and everyone, the cameras, the close-ups are on like the players. And
Alec
like,
Bohm's face, he's like, just holding it together.
I always remember Fergie at the NBA All-Star game, like Draymond. Green, he's like, he can't hold it in. Steph's like biting his lip. LeBron's like looking around, like, please don't put the camera on me. Please don't put the camera on me.
It's tough, dude.
I mean, there is a note for the word free, like written in the song. You know, the original music.
Right.
She turned it into like a good 12 different notes. And I don't know if any of them was the correct one there.
I mean, it also, I honestly wonder if, like, if you have a couple of whiskeys before just to calm your nerves. Because when she started, I thought, oh, man, she sounds maybe like that she's had a couple of whiskeys, you know, to calm her nerves. But it was an auspicious start to the home run derby last night, to be sure. And I did feel terrible for her. But, you know, listen, again, you're a singer and you biff that bad, you know, you're going to get worn out for it. And there's only one thing to do. You have to lean into it and be like, I was terrible last night. Sorry.
Last time I take mushrooms before the national anthem.
Yeah, can't believe I did bath salts right before I did the national anthem.
What was I thinking?
I mean, it was horrid.
As for the derby, your guys' thoughts on... I like the format change for the Derby. I thought it was better than what they used to do before. But it wasn't a good Derby, though, until at least the last couple of minutes.
The incredible Boomer is fully, fully back. And that's when I go full Boomer. I'm ready to get back to basics. I'm ready to get back to players in their own unis for the whole All-Star festivities. Where, you know, everyone's wearing their own stuff. And I'm ready to get back to, what was it, 10 swings?
10 outs.
10 outs. I'm ready to get back to it, man. And I want to watch these home runs. You see me in the chat. I'm the incredible Boomer. Paulie turns me green. I'm ready to get back to... Now, was the Derby always 3 hours long? It was
it's getting longer.
The whole... There were four people left by the time it was over. I mean, the guy that won, Teoscar Hernandez of the Dodgers... Tyler Glasnow was his only teammate there. And people were like ripping the Dodgers for that. I go, I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all. I would have been
family's
gone.
There.
Yeah, like, they're like, bro,
make,
I want to eat.
You can't make me stay here for 3 hours.
I want to eat. I give me the best of the. And the other thing is, it was, there's nothing against any of those players. They're all excellent, excellent players. But it wasn't the same as when you had Judge and Harper and Giancarlo. I mean, prodigious home run hitters.
To me, the format was correct. The participants were incorrect. You know there are people out there like Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge.
Yes,
and they're just not participating.
And the time I was in on the timing thing. And now that I watched it again last night, I'm out. It takes so long.
I thought like...
And they're so gassed. They're so gassed after a minute and a half.
I really thought after they moved to the new format before they tweaked it again this year.
They'd love to tweak stuff.
I thought when they originally moved formats to the timed head-to-head competition, I thought it moved quicker.
I thought so too.
But yesterday dragged on. And I thought like the second round was okay. First half like just was so boring. Bohm versus... Teoscar was pretty good.
The swing off was fine.
And the championship, like, kind of a low number, 14 or whatever, but at least it was close.
The final round wasn't as long, so they knew the number would be lower.
Yeah, they knew it would be, lower.
And it actually was a really thrilling finish. If you made it all the way through the 3 hours, you got a terrific ending. Teoscar Hernandez goes first, puts up 14 home runs, gets a couple in the bonus round. And then you can see that Bobby Witt Jr. is kind of on the edge, and then he gets hot at the end, and he gets to 13, and he hits the bonus one. So he gets two outs left to try to get one to tie and two to win. But the first pitch, line drive, it's an out. So he's down to one swing. This is why I think the format change was good, because there's no clock ticking. You can then build up the drama. He can take a pitch or two until he gets the one he wants. You know, either he homers... Right. And he has a chance to win it. They're going to a swing off,
playoff,
or they're going to, or he's going to win it in dramatic fashion or not. So it's the moment you're hoping for in the home run derby.
just took too long to get there.
And he hits one, and he drives it like 103 miles an hour, deep to left center, and, you know, everyone's getting excited. The camera, you know, follows the ball, so you don't really have the perspective it's going to be long enough. And it comes down, and it hits the wall about halfway up, and, you know, just another like 5 feet, and he would have gotten there, but instead, Teoscar Hernandez wins. That's all you can dream for if you're hoping for an entertaining end to a home run derby.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, at the end, though, you imagine if you had Aaron Judge against
Fernando Tatis Jr.
And they're hitting balls.
Otani,
you know,
Judge, right. Stanton,
and it's like, all right, here's the final round.
Harper,
these two are going off, and
Schwarber.
Listen, I mean, again, they're all phenomenal players. I love Bobby Witt Jr. He's one of my favorite players to watch. Colleyville, Texas, that's where I grew up. Same high school as my brother went to. Hometown kid.
Alec Bohm, great player.
Great player.
I don't know that I need to see him in a home run derby. He did fine.
That was
he did
it.
Fine, but I want.
I want the home run hitters,
man.
Out
there,
I do too.
20 plus per round.
Yeah, I want the big ones, the big tanks, man. And again, I'm fine going back to the old way of doing it because I want to watch these homers. You know, also the constant chatter throughout. I mean, when they had Ken Griffey Jr. on, which was awesome. Ken Griffey Jr.'s won like three or something.
And
they're talking to him, and they're like, "So, Jr., what is he doing here? Is he locking in here? What's he looking for?" And I'm like, guys. It's a home run derby. We know exactly what their goal is here. He's not trying to go the other way. We know he's trying to catch it out front. You know, he's letting it get too deep. It was just unnecessary.
I think, Paul, you made the point in our text thread last night. When Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins exist, you don't really want to watch a slam dunk contest that doesn't include the best in the world at what they do.
Yeah.
Then you know you're watching the JV competition. And that's what it was. It was the JV home run derby last night.
Yeah.
It's like the NBA eventually just changed. It became the rising stars. You had to be like within your first two or three years in the league. Like, nobody wants that. They want to see LeBron and, you know, Dwight Howard and Kobe going against each other.
I remember in Todd Frazier, they had him on. Remember when he won the home run derby? I mean, it's horrific. It's just like, I want the best of the best. I also understand why they don't. Maybe you do it at the end of the year. Maybe you do it. I don't know how you fix it. But it was, and I love baseball, and I love home runs so much. It was such a snooze fest for me. It really was. I was just half asleep the whole time.
Now, I will say that the three of us made our prognostications yesterday for the home run derby. And we did, well, I mean, not great, in that all of our choices were eliminated in the first round. I had Pete Alonso. You took Gunnar Henderson, and Paulie, you had
Adelis Garcia.
Three of the favorites, three all eliminated in round number one.
I think Garcia was like the fifth highest odds, and he finished, fifth.
And with
the
new format,
round.
It wasn't even like they got unlucky and ran into someone who was hot. No. All they had to do was finish in the top four to move into the second round. None of them did.
Yeah.
None of them did.
It just did not grab me last night, man. And I maybe it's star power. Maybe it was the Josh Gorrell, our one of our beloved tier ones. He's like, I was in the building, and it was horrible. I mean, as soon as you hear the crack of the bat, you know, there's another pitch on the way. And so, yeah, man, I want to admire it a little bit. You can have fewer participants, better participants, and drag it out in that way. You know, the 10 swings is elite.
I don't know why Pete dragged Grandpa out to throw his BP for him.
Bro, as soon as I saw that guy's first couple throws, I thought about our interview. You missed our interview yesterday with Ray Crone, who's thrown the most elite batting practice pitcher of all time. Was talking about it. He goes, watch these guys tonight. And boy, did I. Boy, I was getting texts like, I'm watching this in a whole different way because of that interview. And Pete's guy was throwing 46-mile-an-hour lobs in, and Pete was just, like trying to get it out. And you could see the frustration.
I knew it was over.
Oh, like, it was over.
Just because of that interview. I knew it was over as soon as, he's never going to do well.
Not good.
All right, we are a 1 hour in. Take on Woods coming up. It is Ben and Woods summer break. Don't go away. Back with more after this on 97.3 The Fam.